I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're about to do something unforgettable. Because, ladies and gentlemen, come Friday night, a game that Lima has historically not cared about, because it's usually come on the same weekend as the feast. Ladies and gentlemen, we have ourselves a moment to remember. You, me, thousands of others, 7 p.m., your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, and Shedeur Sanders gets the start against the Carolina Panthers.
All in.
What
All
a
in.
Great day for everybody out there.
In fact, I had to tell my wife, I'm making preparations now. I'm trying to round up people.
This is
trying
great.
To figure out how I'm going to take it all in.
Oh, and I don't mean to tell you how to do your job.
It's not an official game.
I got to hear music.
This
I'm
game
sorry.
Matters
I got to hear it. He's starting on Friday.
If you go, oh, it's going to be great. You got to have a little more fervor.
I'm excited.
That.
I'm just trying not to. I got 4 hours. I'm trying not to blow my voice out here.
The same guy that told me this.
I know. Make it forgettable. I know. I understand that. And I,
We're
you know
not
what?
Even 24 hours
For
later.
The entire season,
Maybe
I.
It's forgettable.
For the entire season, I don't back down from that statement. But you know what? I'm going to take my little victories, and this is a little victory, a little thing to get excited about. So life is about little things to get excited about. There's people out there that, you know, things don't go that well in their life. So you know what? If they're going to have a cigarette, if the cigarette helps them enjoy their life, then fine. They're going to have that smoke. You know what? If a person wants an ice cream cone, you know, you could sit there and try to talk bad about them on social media and say, you shouldn't be eating that ice cream cone. You guys should only be eating eggs and meat, and that's all you should be. You know what? That guy's going to enjoy that ice cream cone. And if my season ain't going to go that well, you know what?
We're going to enjoy the preseason.
I still get to enjoy a preseason start from one
Remember,
Shedeur Sanders.
Remember, Owen, you are talking to somebody who pioneered the 4-0 preseason matters.
And it does matter on Friday, baby.
So,
it does matter on Friday.
Who in this city, hell, who in this country has taken preseason more seriously than Ken Carman?
Ain't nobody in this country taking preseason more seriously than me.
He's going to be authentically getting pumped up for this.
It's me and Patrick Mahomes.
Football team for the morale of the fan base.
Turn it up this time.
I'm shouting you to win this.
Turn it up.
Yes, 4-0 matters. You got to teach him to win. You got to teach him to get that feeling. Where hopefully, yes, we will become a team where this becomes old hat.
Yeah.
And they went
Teach
what
Shedeur
that year?
To compete.
0-16.
Oh, they won no games in the regular season.
Shedeur's I compete. Will guarantee they won't go 0-16 this year. Guarantee it.
You wish Shaheen a challenge? Throwing down the gauntlet?
I'm just saying they won't go 0-16. They will not finish the season 0-16.
Might they start the season at 0-16?
They could. And then the following week become 0-17, but they will not go 0-16.
Shedeur starting on Friday. I was surprised. I really thought they were going to start Tyler Huntley.
Oh,
I swear to God, I thought they were going to start Tyler Huntley. And I know that Jonathan was fit to be tied by it if Tyler Huntley were to start, which you know what? I totally see. I know we love to rip each other all the time, but I totally see where Jonathan, our shows, I totally see where Jonathan's coming from. I don't know if it would have been as disrespectful as Jonathan would have said, but I think it would have been like, man, geez, like, then why would you even draft him? Because in all honesty, it's the first preseason game of three. You don't really remember preseason games in so many ways. I'm having fun with it right now, but like it's like, man, if you weren't going to start him in the preseason game, like it did toy with the notion. Before they announced this yesterday, I think I got home and I opened up the door to the truck to get out of the truck and I was walking back in. I go, do I have to ask Lima, like if he don't start on Friday – and Tyler Huntley starts, like, depending on how long Tyler Huntley were to go, do I have to toy with the notion that he might actually be on the bubble? Do I have to go back on this and reevaluate and think, could he be on a bubble here with this franchise? Like, because I've been saying, I mean, ever since the jersey started flying off the shelves and things like that, I go, man, from a business standpoint, you guys roll your eyes and say it should only be about football. You know damn well there's also business there. And you got jerseys flying off the shelves. It's like, man, in a season where you don't think that they're going to do much, keeping him on the roster, keeps people going. That is not the right type of mentality to have, but it's definitely a mentality that professional sports teams would have. And I'm thinking, man, if he can't even play against Carolina game one of the preseason, then maybe I got to reevaluate where exactly he is with this franchise.
Well, especially if we're hearing that he's like miles behind.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that it's close and it's a 50-50 battle. Like, when Albert Breer started talking about it, and then more, so clearly the Browns were telling people. The Browns were telling people because the Browns were probably not loving the fact that they were getting accused of sabotaging Sanders. So they start leaking out on their own, right? Who else would it have come from? It would have come from the Browns that, oh, you guys don't understand. Like, he's not getting the basics. He's, yeah, the throws you're seeing, he's able to do all that stuff. But we need a quarterback that's able to get guys lined up, able to make sure that he can conduct a huddle, yeah. Which those are the things me and you take for granted. Well, can't everybody do that? Can every quarterback?
But at the same time, when we say like leaks and things like that, there's always assistants and things who text and they're asked constantly. And finally they go, listen, he's here, and we're trying to do this with him. And that's why he's behind. But still going to this preseason game.
Well, what better
game,
way to get up to speed? Get thrown into the fire. Let's go.
That sounds like they're doing it irresponsibly. Because I'm thinking, all right, the reason he gets a start is because of the injuries. So what? I don't want anybody to get hurt, and yeah. I don't think Shedeur Sanders wants to get anybody to get hurt. But so what? Secondly, his offensive line at Colorado was terrible for both those years. He ran for his life. I know he holds onto the ball very long. He'll probably hold on to the ball to an uncomfortable degree on Friday.
He's probably got some bad habits.
Some of those habits right off the rip. You got to work on it like crazy, because we can say about habits all we want, but it really depends on what you're going to do in live games. So he has that opportunity that he can break that, but he'll still be better protected than what he was in college. And I think that they'll take care of him with the play calling.
So here's the question. Who is he going to be playing with, and who's he going to be going up against?
I think even with his second team offensive line, he'd still be better protected than what he had at Colorado.
Well, the only reason I ask is because we know Canales said they were going to play starters, at least on offense. What were they going to do defensively?
I thought it was a handful of ones.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
On either side of the ball.
I don't know if the offensive line is going to protect him. If it's the Browns' number twos against Carolina's number ones, that doesn't seem like it would bode very well.
We will have to ask that question to Kevin Stefanski during his live press conference. Now, this is kind of floating in the 9 o'clock hour. There's reports of some inclement weather that could change some of this. So we are supposed to hear Kevin Stefanski at some point in the 9, but we will follow that as much as we can.
9:30 is the plan right now.
9:30 is the plan, but the plan could change. So make sure you're hearing as much as you can for when Kevin Stefanski says it, because we'll get to we'll have some sort of conversation. You'll probably say we haven't decided on that yet. We'll get to some sort of conversation of him playing with the ones. Yes.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you plan on hearing Stefanski for the first time since this announcement of Shedeur's, was made.
Yes.
9:30, be there. It might change.
Be there, be square. Set your alarms. Get those push-button notifications.
Get those push-button.
With the free Odyssey app. So, I don't know how anybody can say that they're at least not curious. Some people are saying that they're not excited. I don't know how Hold you can't be second. Excited. You got to be at least
Kenny,
curious.
To me, this is all-encompassing. 100% of Browns fans have to be pumped about this, and here's why. There are factions, without a doubt. It's a four-way quarterback competition, allegedly. And I don't know. What do you think? What would you say the percentages of people that like Shedeur Sanders think he has a chance, and the percentage of people that don't? What would you say that split is? I don't know.
People who don't like Shedeur Sanders say he has a chance of what?
That don't understand why we took him, that, hey, he'll be exposed. He fell all the way to the fifth round. We got other guys ahead of him. We've certainly talked to those people. I don't know what the percentage is. But either way, if you add it all up of the people that don't like him and hate him, mm-hmm. and do like him, it's 100%. 100% of people should be pumped up, because you're going to try to win an argument, or you are going to be eviscerated in your argument, at least in the first half, on Friday night.
I'm going to split hairs, and this is going to be a little bit annoying. I'm not trying to pick a fight with you whatsoever. I do think there's a difference between curious and excited. I'm excited. All right? I'm excited. I would love to see him go out there. And this is where you do count completions and incompletions and everything. I'd love to see him go out there and go 8 for 8 in the first half, or 8 for 9 mm-hmm. in the first half with 98 yards, maybe a touchdown, but maybe I'm asking too much of the offense in a preseason game. We'll see. I'd love to do that because I'd love to have the conversation about him. This year, to me, is as wide open as it gets. So I'd love to have that conversation about him. But I think there are plenty of people, and they get in my timeline every day, and then they get in the phones. I think there's plenty of people who do not like him, do not like, they're tired of the roller coaster at quarterbacks. I think this goes all the way back to Johnny with these folks, no matter what. It's not fair, but it's the truth. And I think that they're upset by this. They want this situation to go away. But you can't tell me you ain't going to be there on Friday night at 7 o'clock to see. You've been arguing with some of your buddies. I get if you have a group of five friends, somebody is a Shador lover. Somebody is a person who is excited about the possibility of Shador Sanders being a good quarterback for this football team. If you have a group of five friends, it's about to happen. So if you're one of the haters, or you're one of the people who go, this is just total Brownsian garbage. This is why the Browns have been bad for umpteen years, which is, by the way, can't say you're wrong yet. We'll find out more. Can't say you're not curious about this. You can't tell me you're not curious. Curiosity brings it in. So that to me, it's not something to argue with you about. It's like, what the hell? It's that we're splitting hairs here.
Oh, and I think there's some people rooting for him to fail in a big way. I think he's a polarizing player. He's not a polarizing person.
I mean,
I think everybody has been enamored with his conduct and how team-oriented he's been and doing all the little things and saying all the right things. But as far as, like, is he the future quarterback of the Browns? I think there are guys rooting for him to fail.
Friday night matchups, what are the games are you watching? I mean, you got Detroit at Atlanta, you got Washington at New England, you got Cleveland at Carolina. You're watching that game. You're watching Cleveland at Carolina, which is apparently NFL Network as well.
Yes.
You're watching Cleveland, Carolina.
Course. People have to be a little careful because I've seen people that keep throwing in my face, like, look at this guy talked about Shador. This guy talked about Shador. I'm like, yeah, but do they really believe in Shador, or are they talking about him because they're getting like the Tebow bump? Anytime a national show talks Shador, it goes viral. Well, that was Tebow. Do they really think he's good? Do they really think he's got a shot to be a good NFL player? When I'm listening to these guys, I'm not really sensing that they know either way.
I love that you brought this up because the difference has always been like Tim Tebow, no matter what anybody wants to say, is a good guy. All right. Nice person, good person, tries to be. You can agree, disagree on any one of those principles, whatever it is. He tries to be nice to everybody. I just didn't think he was a great pro quarterback. I didn't think he had the possibility of really being a great pro quarterback.
Yeah, I asked you if you thought Shador could be better as a pro.
I think Shador can be better as a pro.
And so
that's the difference. And Tebow is both fine people.
Yeah, Tebow was a first-round pick, and obviously we know Shador slipped all the way to the fifth. So the odds the odds are stacked against Shador overall. But this is the start. This is why it's fun. This is why it's must tune in. This is why we're going to have the call here on 92.3 The Fan. We're the home of the Browns. Like, if you're stuck at work or doing whatever, like, obviously, these people from around the country are going to be dialed into this game because they all have an opinion. Say what you want about Shador, and just like Tim Tebow, everybody had an opinion on Tim Tebow and whether or not he'd work out as an NFL quarterback. This is why Friday is going to be so much fun because a lot of people are going to set their opinions in stone, right? They're going to write it in Sharpie. However he does in this game, it's going to be silly to do that, right? I mean, I got right in front of me, and you knew this would happen. So all the Colorado Buffalo fans who were really Shador fans, a lot of them,
yeah, of course,
they have been all in on every day of camp. They have been tweeting, publishing every number, every stat available from preseason camp. They have been noting when guys like Albert Breer say, just want to let you guys know, Shador is way behind Dylan Gabriel. And they have been throwing that in their face.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I've got a tweet in front of me from a broadcaster and commentator out of Colorado, out of Boulder. And he is incensed that Shador, without first team reps, is starting. He thinks the Browns are putting him in total position to fail. I got eight paragraphs here from the guy.
Did he do eight? What?
Real Matt Smith with one T.
Is this an article or an email?
No, he's got the blue check mark. He can tweet as many words as he wants. He says, handling it this way is textbook case of how not to put your players in position to succeed. He is incensed about how this is handled. So he's a Shador guy who's mad that Shador is starting all of a sudden for the Browns. So all that is to say, I'm not going to waste your time with the eight paragraphs. All that is to say is, yes, everybody's going to be dialed in and everyone's going to have an opinion on Friday. This is awesome.
Hasn't he done pretty decently with the second team and third team?
Shador?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seems like it.
So if he's with the first team, shouldn't he do a little bit?
I think he's saying, you know, practice to a preseason game is going to be a big jump, and he's worried. I'm telling you, a guy like this is worried that Shador is not going to look good.
If you're that,
why would you write that?
Okay.
If you thought Shador was that
then
special,
then this person really doesn't believe in him.
But that's what I mean.
Send it to whoever this guy. No offense to this guy. I don't know who you are. I just disagree with you.
I think a lot of people talked a big game about how the Browns are mishandling Shador, and Shador needs the opportunities, and now he's got the opportunity. They're like, oh, man, I didn't want it like this.
If you are that afraid he's going to fail in the first preseason game on a Friday, you were never that in to begin with. You were embellishing a little bit too much for likes and retweets.
I think there's been a lot of that going on as well.
I got to leave it there. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we go around the AFC North. Going to be a lot of fun during that one. And 2 second trivia, your chance to win free Mr. Hero. All right, you excited for this start or are you worried for this start? Lima brought this to me because this has to be put out there early. And I think Ohio State's maybe a victim of their own success as Lima's about to read this to everybody. Please go ahead here. If and you could. This is real, by the way. What Ross Bjork said, this is all real. We ain't going to end up on the New York Post because you're reading fake reports over there, are we?
I guess Bjork did a press conference yesterday to talk about all the new and exciting tweaks to the in-game atmosphere at Ohio State.
Oh, my gosh.
When it comes to their video board, their music, the marching band. I mean, there were all sorts of updates all the way to trying to figure out a way to get people in and out of the bathrooms because so many people had complained when he had come in.
No, that's a decent response there, a decent answer there.
I mean, yes.
People got to get in and out of the can. But go ahead.
The first part was, what was the song you were just playing, Owen?
That was called Hang On Sloopy.
Well, yes. It's funny you mentioned Hang On Sloopy because now Hang On Sloopy will be played in a more organic fashion, not just specifically between the third and the fourth quarters as previously played. It will be enjoyed at every game, but this allows for it to be played when it is needed the most. So say goodbye to your very structured game day at the Shoe.
So you just play this willy-nilly anytime you want?
They're just going to plop it in when the fans and the team need it the most.
But does it have different meanings because there's multiple versions?
So this is kind of like FSU's war chant, Rocky Top, the USC fight song. It's kind of like that.
Hell yeah.
I don't think it hits as well, but
Yeah, it's very different. People do get pumped when it comes on because with the market.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marching band and the crowd, you know, the OHIO calls throughout the entire stadium.
I don't agree with this already, but go right on ahead.
They're going to be introducing the towel. And there are...
Well, it's called... No, you didn't say it right.
There are quotes.
Just said it's called the towel.
The towel.
It's a the towel.
Mm-hmm. Like, isn't it the...
Or the towel, whatever, the Ohio State University, the towel is what they're introducing. Fans can wave it at every game. Every fan that attends the Texas game will get one of these free. Will also be available to purchase as merch. So you get it for free at Texas, but if you're going to a Purdue game or something like that, you got to buy it.
Well, then it's not going to work.
It ain't going to work.
The exact same people.
It'll work.
The one thing about Ohio State games that I know for a fact is it's really hard. It's really hard to go to multiple games unless you are a big-time donor.
But you're going to need the towel when you get there for the atmosphere.
And there's a reason for that, too.
Are they going to tell us the color of the towel?
Well, see, you're already playing it too much.
No,
I thought, this was organic.
This is organic. That's what they're trying to do.
That's not organic. You're playing it too much.
I don't think you understand. Listen, is organic.
Yeah, he felt the show needed it.
I do this for a living.
This is Hang On. This is Hang On, Sloopy. You can't just play like Hotel California.
No. He felt like the conversation needed it.
It was something I was getting pumped up.
Victory bell will be rung before the team enters the field. The goal will be to have it rung by an honorary figure or Ohio State celebrity. First game will be Archie.
Archie's the legend. That makes sense. All you need is a guitar.
Yeah.
Looks like they're borrowing something from the Cleveland Browns there.
Yeah, they're going to be.
If you ask me.
Yep, probably, right? The Browns borrowed theirs from. Seems like every team now has somebody to try to fuel the fans.
Kansas City has a drum. Seattle has a flag.
12th man in Seattle. You ring the bell and all that stuff. Yeah.
This would have been like Richard Lewis, RIP. A celebrity every game. So now they got to come up with a celebrity every game.
So Richard's not doing it.
I imagine.
Jeffrey Dahmer, right?
How's Jack Nicklaus doing?
Could be Jack Nicklaus.
I just saw him in Happy Gilmore, too. He should be fine.
Jack Nicklaus.
Get him out there.
True. And here's where it gets a little convoluted. If defend the shoe, Buckeye fans can earn Buckeye leaves by creating third down penalties, forcing timeouts and other energy/noise-related impacts the crowd makes. So go ahead and throw one of those digital leaves on your digital helmet.
You get a leaf.
Just being organic.
We had a person, can I tell you, everybody? We had a guy named Steve Ralston who worked here.
Yeah,
and I'm not gonna name the guy, but he was a boss, and he's not from here, and he's no longer here. I can just say it was Andy,
and he's in Atlanta now.
It was Andy. So Steve Ralston had Buckeye leaves on his headset, earphones, and Andy thought that they were weed leaves. And we had to explain to Andy that those are Buckeye. They put them on the side. He goes, "Oh, that's what those are." I go, "Got a blind spot for college football
big college
there, eh,
football
bud?
Guy.
Got a little bit of a blind spot there."
More seats for the Blocko section for the stadium. More music and songs integrated into the experience to get the crowd hype for specific moments. The band.
It's too much Hang On, Sloop.
That you're hearing right now. Or is it just enough? The band will be relocated to the north end zone and also amplified with microphones. Gotta be careful. Gotta be careful. The band has gotten into trouble.
As long as we aren't piping in the noise.
I thought you'd only run out on the field and get in trouble. You go ahead, Matt. No, wait. The north is at the open section.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, the south stands. The south stands are always where the students.
You're allowed to have microphones?
They better be careful because they've gotten a little rowdy over the years. They've gotten themselves into some trouble.
That seems on.
One final note. Specific mention of usage of the song Ohio by Camp, C-A-A-M-P. I've never heard that song until right before the show. I played it for Ken.
Camp. You got the song here?
Do we know this song? Is this like a popular, famous song?
Let's get some of Camp here.
Let's hear
this
Camp.
After listening to it, the section I believe they might focus on.
Ohio.
This is it.
Some things can't forget.
What is this?
It's like
this is the song?
Poor man's Joe Crocker.
Well, okay, the song. I think it seems a little dated. Hang on, Sloopy's kind of like Hang On, Sloopy's dated, but it's kind of now it's in the.
Who did you say it sounded like earlier?
It sounds like Lumineers.
Yeah, Lumineers. You're right.
It sounds like, hey, ho.
Well, there is a.
The stop. That's what it is.
That's he's more of a smoky, but like the Noah Kahan's very big and it's folky. It's folk stuff.
Can you play a little bit of that again? Can you do that?
The part you played was better than the part I played, the start of it.
I don't think of Buckeye football here. I think of
to begin a tradition.
I feel like a mother and a daughter are riding around in a car in summer and it's like an Ohio tourism.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Dayton.
Falls in Columbus.
And they're looking at antiques. Cincinnati.
It's a lot of banjo looking at the river. In there. But see, this happened.
Life's just a little better on the Olentangy River.
Toledo, and they're blowing glass.
This happened when they did the new plates for the state, which the embodiment of that was the corn, right?
Are they Time Life plates?
And it's like, but most people in Ohio don't live where the corn is. Most people in Ohio live in the cities, in the suburbs around the cities, yeah. not where the corn is. So there's always going to be, in a very regionally divided state, there's always going to be a debate over who identifies with what in the state.
So I imagine, now you're a Buckeye fan. You are yeah. You're the Buckeye fan on the station. I mean, let's be honest here. You're the alum of Ohio State. Are you insulted by this or what?
I will say the attempt to improve the game day atmosphere, it was needed. It's what everybody told Ross Bjork when he got hired. They said it has become a wine and cheese crowd at Ohio State. And a lot of these, especially noon games, people are falling asleep.
Oh, God.
That's a four-hour game. Like, I can't deny that the atmosphere has not been great. Part of that is they put all the games at noon. That was a Fox issue, which I don't totally hate. But when you do have the night games, you know, that's when the atmosphere is there. The big Penn State games, the big Wisconsin games, I don't think the atmosphere was a problem. It's a lot of the noon kickoffs when they're up in the third quarter by 50 points.
Yeah.
That's when it's like, hey, the game day atmosphere is not great here.
So are people leaving early and they're like, I have to leave before I even hear Hang On Sloopy? And Ross is like, No,
here you go.
You're going to get your Hang On Sloopy in your face, middle of the first quarter.
See, people
back at Ohio Stadium, 14-0 Buckeyes.
I think people are sick and tired of hearing, though, that the SEC has the best atmospheres up and down that conference. Because now we got the best football again, right?
Paul Keels, Big Ten's Jim the best Lachey, football Tyler conference. Tyler Danberg on the sidelines with you. 21-0 Buckeyes.
At least the top of the Big
Especially
Ten
with
has
the addition
best
of Oregon and
yeah. Now we can go toe to toe with the SEC schools, but the atmosphere of those night games in the SEC. Yeah. And Penn State. Penn State has the atmosphere. Wisconsin, when they were humming, had the atmosphere.
Well, I got to tell you. So, Penn State has the atmosphere, but I think they're like 9-9 or 9-8.
They never win.
In those whiteout
games. Ohio State beats them every time.
Yeah, so, it's pretty odd. I thought you were going to be incensed. You actually had the exact thought I was thinking of. But I think you've been critical of the wine and cheese crowd before. First off, it's like $400 to sit lower bowl there. So you only have a certain fan that
can
afford
really
to sit there.
It's really hard. It's hard. You got to win the lottery.
Anthony, I did see the theme for the Michigan game. I was just told was throw in the towel. Do you have a response?
Come on. That was something there.
I mean, he's not wrong. Wouldn't kill Ryan Day to win one of these Michigan games, but hey, won the national championship. I can't say anything to Ryan Day anymore.
I think you're a victim of your own success. I remember Nick Saban going off on the student section at Alabama because the place was barren because you're up 60-0. And he goes, you guys just think this stuff falls off of trees. You remember last year, Dabo. Dabo's like, what was the standard here before I got here? 8-4? 8 and Clemsoning? And now you got like that. The standard changes, so yeah, man.
When Urban got hired, he came in and he was not thrilled with a lot of the reaction by the fan base. Like
the Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He came in and he tried to get those guys pumped up. And of course, they destroyed everybody. They just dominated everybody.
It's true.
So it is tough. It's like you kind of need close games to really preserve that atmosphere.
I mean, you're right. I'll say this. Like at the end of this, like your standard is so high. Like Penn State, I think there's a natural buy-in there. Michigan, if you were at home, that's a natural buy-in. But like Rutgers, like the only atmosphere you can have is a pensive negative one if they're still around in the third quarter.
Yeah, Penn State, people are coming from all over the place. It's so hard to get there that when they get there, they're going to go nuts.
If you said there was a vast conspiracy against Shedeur Sanders and now you're upset with the Browns for starting him on Friday, I really don't think you were that big of a Shedeur Sanders supporter. I will explain that here in just a moment. As always, you can listen to this show and all of our local shows, 92.3thefan.com. Take the fan wherever you go. Listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeart, or TuneIn apps. All of them are there, and they're all available for free. Go right on ahead and do so. You're going to absolutely love it. Coming up at 8:01, we go around the AFC North. Coming up at 7:45, your chance to eat free Mr. Hero. But you have to answer two questions within 2 seconds each. With 2 second trivia, your chance to eat free Mr. Hero. That's a 4-pack of Mr. Hero combo meals that you can get if you get 2 second trivia right. That's coming up at 7:43. 216-474-0092. And I'm gonna get to the phones here in a second. Let me re-explain myself here. You told me about an article. This is during our conversation about Shador starting on Friday. I'm excited. You're excited. And I think even if you're a hater, you're probably even a little bit curious. I got JJ who listens to us, I believe, on the app in New York State. I hope I'm right about that. And the, of course, Twitter reaction is brought to you by Schaben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, where he's not very excited by it, but he says, I said, do you think it's a clown show? He says it's a clown show, because that was one of the things I threw in there. And he goes, total clown show. I go, well, you still got to be curious.
Who's not excited to see a clown show?
Because if he goes out there and he's 8-9, you're going to be getting your arguments. If you are a hater, you're going to get your arguments against him. Or you're going to go, well, I tell you what, I didn't think it was going to do too well, and here I am surprised. I just don't know how you can be a football fan of the Browns and not be tuned into this, no matter what, whether you think you're going to see...
I think everybody will be. Who's saying they won't be?
I don't know. I just don't believe that you could... If you think you're going to see a symphony offense or a total car wreck, it's still something you got to see. The other thing, though, you read that article to me. And this is from a person in Boulder, Colorado, right? Now, yeah, again, I don't know this guy, so I don't need to go ahead and impugn his dignity or anything like that.
No, it's an extended tweet. He is a huge fan of...
He's just a fan, or is he a writer?
No, he does some play-by-play at the school, not necessarily football, but he also has a podcast and appears on the radio locally, Matt Smith. And he says, giving Shador one day of reps with the ones for the first time at a joint practice, no less, 2 days before his start, not even remotely indicative of a team that's correctly preparing a quarterback for evaluation. This is a sink or swim situation. Handling it in this way is a textbook case of how not to put your players in position to succeed.
Did this person, do we know, believe that Shador should have been taken before the fifth round?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
If you believe that the NFL... conspired against Shador. And, I mean, you would... If they all think that the guy can't play, technically that is some sort of a conspiracy, is it not? But if you think that for some odd reason the NFL's holding down, you think he should have been a day one pick, and he wasn't a day one pick. I don't know how you can think that this is putting the screws to Shador to start him in the first preseason game. You would say they've seen his talent. They know that he can do it. And also... I don't think they're going to go, and hey, I might end up being wrong, but I don't think they're going to go five wide and leave him with nobody back there to block, and we're just going to throw the ball around all the time. Like, I think that that's been kind of one of the things that maybe, and this is all speculative here with his offense, with him thinking about the offense. He has been in a throw first, no run offense, basically. We'd say a lot of those are checkdowns. Well, basically, the checkdowns are the run plays in so many ways in Colorado. So you have this guy who hasn't really had a run game. Well, this is going to be a ball control offense to try to eat clock, protect the football, have rock fights to win. Like, this is going to be very, guys, this is going to be very Big Ten West, this offense this year. Punting is going to be a premium. If you have him in there, it might take a minute to get used to, here's the ball. Hand it off to Jerome Ford. Here's the ball. Hand it off to Dylan Sampson. Here's the ball. Here's my play action. There I go. Now, there's things that Shador does that would say, hey, he's the right type of quarterback for that system, but he's just months removed from a different system. So that might take some time. But again, if you think that he is a first-round talent and now all of a sudden he's starting in this preseason game, you get what I'm saying? How on earth can you think that they're putting the screws to him?
No, I listen.
How on earth?
The only thing I would say, not putting the screws.
They're not going to put the third team against Carolina's
first
team.
It's preseason game number one. Like, you only have so many opportunities to get anything done before the team has to get the actual starter ready for football. And we've all decided now in the NFL, and I guess not all of us, because Carolina is starting Bryce Young, but we're not really going to play the quarterbacks all that much in the preseason. So eventually there was going to be an opportunity, and here is his opportunity. I think it's going to be awesome for the kid. I mean, hey, there's some guys that shine in these preseason games that end up being terrible quarterbacks. We've had that over the years too. Who cares? It's time to get him out there. And I think it is exciting. The only thing I would say is I had to defend Shador before, when we'd have callers say, Nepo baby, didn't earn anything, and now he went from four string overnight to starting this game. I guess, you know, he didn't necessarily earn it. But who cares? It's preseason.
Well, according to Nathan, he earned the right. No, Nathan says he earned the right. Now, that's Nathan. No, we'll have Nathan saying, on, I believe, on Friday. I hope. I know it's early in the morning.
I'm just saying, if yesterday he was the four-string quarterback at camp and today he's starting the first game, you can't really say that he earned it.
Well, if you had people saying around the team that he earned
injuries.
It.
I mean, he's only doing this because of the injuries.
Yes, the injuries are there, but if they really thought that he was devoid of doing anything, well, I don't know if he'd still be on the roster, but if they really thought he was devoid of anything, then he wouldn't start. They would put Tyler Huntley out there, which is crazy, but that's part of the truth of the matter. So if he couldn't protect himself at all and couldn't conduct an offense or do any of that stuff in the first place, then they wouldn't have put him out there in the first place. So this is clearly a feather in the cap to Shedeur Sanders. 216-474-0092.
I can't agree with you there.
You don't agree with that.
I think it's by default. I think he did get this by default.
But if he...
I don't care that he got it by default. I mean,
I disagree.
We were told... I mean, Albert Breer was on the afternoon show yesterday saying he's so far behind because of all the little things.
But they didn't care about
the little things for the first preseason
game.
But
I disagree. If he still couldn't protect himself, do you think the Browns would still march him out there, even with the injuries? Or would they put, like, hey, let's have Tyler Huntley out there. Then Jonathan could talk disrespectful.
He's not a high school quarterback. What do you mean can't protect himself?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't start to push my buttons on this. We've been agreeing the whole first hour. If you can't deal with an agreement a first hour, then I guess we will pull up the arms and fight. But I say protect himself. That means run the offense. That means know where people are going to be when he goes out on bootleg. That's what I mean by protect himself. Not leaving himself open to cream shots. That's what I'm saying.
Our little argument is over. I think he was gifted the first preseason game by injuries.
I don't think he was gifted.
Had there have not been injuries, he would not be starting this game.
He would not be starting the game.
Yeah, so we agree. But there's nothing to disagree about.
I don't see it as a gift. I wouldn't put him out.
Whatever you want to call it.
I'm not just gifting anybody playing time.
It seems like they kind of are
starting
in this case
anyway.
Because he didn't get first team reps ever.
216-474-0092. Do you think it's a gift?
I think it's great. I'm glad it's a gift. Good.
I agree with Nathan. I think he's earned it.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.